My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Our final hour here, also live on the Free Odyssey app. Well, the whole show's on the Free Odyssey app. We're on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We had a brief hiatus on YouTube earlier in the show, unplanned, but that sometimes is the way the cookie crumbles, if you will, or your internet goes out. But we're happy to be back up. And of course, if you missed any part of the show, say you normally watch us on YouTube, good news. We got a podcast. Also, the whole show's on available on demand. Before Anthony even puts it up in the podcast feed, because we got the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Basically, we've had a good day on this front, Anthony. Wayne called the show earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. He got the show. He said that, hey, I love to listen to your show. And if I can't, then when I get home, I fire up the iPad and I listen that way on the podcast. Wayne gets the show. What's anyone else's excuse? Or is Wayne just a super genius?
I don't think they have an excuse.
All due respect, Wayne, who's probably listening to this part of the show on the podcast. You are a super genius, Wayne, but I think there are more super geniuses amongst us. Anyway, apropos of none of that, it's time for our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's boogie. Pick six on a Monday means we take a look back at the six players we selected on Friday and see how they did. The six players we selected on Friday were the six that we thought were most interesting to watch during Commanders and Giants. And we start with Anthony.
Number one.
Which I had number one this week, and number one was big number 97 for New York. Now, Dexter Lawrence was not, he was not great in this game. He was not bad in this game. He was just kind of a solid defensive tackle in this game. And boy, let me tell you what, if you had told me Friday that the Commanders were going to turn Dexter Lawrence into just a merely solid defensive tackle who would make a couple of plays and maybe require a little bit of extra attention, I would have signed up for that on the spot. And that is exactly what they did. Tyler Biadasz was excellent in this game. Nick Allegretti, Sam Cosmi helping out. They did a really great job. They were attentive to him. There's a couple plays that he ruined, like two or three big plays that he makes, but like nothing disastrous. No sacks in the game. He was good. But like, he's Dexter Lawrence. If you can hold him to good and not great, you've won the Dexter Lawrence battle. PFF, for whatever it's worth, graded him out as their third best defensive player. He graded out in the green at a 75-3. Fine. Don't care. Good. You know what I do care about? He had zero sacks, zero hits. He had four hurries, only three tackles. That, I'll take that any day of the week.
Nah, yeah, I'll definitely take that as well. And I was telling you earlier, I was so surprised. Like, Tyler Biadasz sometimes one-on-one with Dexter Lawrence. Like, usually, you know, he demands a double team at least, or he's going to blow up a play, but for the most part, we did our best, you know, holding our water and, limiting him to not having, one of those monstrous days that he could have and have had against the Commanders.
I said, like, just don't let him wreck your day.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They didn't. They ran right at him. They got some, you know, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Like, he had some tackles. He had some plays that he gummed up. He also had some plays that he gummed up that Brian Robinson found another exit.
Yeah.
So, you know, that works out, too. Just a really good job, I think, by the Commanders front, all in all, on Sunday. All right, number two, Anthony.
Number two.
Number two was my guy, Daron Payne. And I'm not going to say he necessarily had a bad day, because part of the reason I wanted to pick him this week is because week one, they made the plays, or the plays were there to be made. We just didn't capitalize on them. And I thought this was going to be a great week for, you know, him to rebound and right those wrongs. He showed up here and there, but I don't think it was consistent enough, to be honest, if I'm being honest.
He graded out per PFF at a 72.4, and whatever it's worth, that was their second best. They had Wagner at an 89, and Bobby was pretty good. You know, occasionally, like, not as effective as you want as a blitzer. A couple of things in coverage here and there, but, like, by and large, I think Bobby Wagner played a really good football game. St. Juice they had as a 69. And then Allen was their fourth best player at a 62.9. And I say that because, I mean, I guess as a run defender, he graded out as a 49.1. So it's not like they graded him out well in that department. I just think that, like, for what he was asked to do, you can't tell me that John Allen had a 62.9 and was better than a guy like Quan Martin or Percy Butler in this game.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever that is. But for Payne, like, eventually, you got to get production. Like, yeah, he ate some blocks. Yeah, he got some penetration on Cleveland Furl's sack. Like, he's the main instigator there, pushing the pocket, one of his two hurries that PFF credited him with. But at the end of the day, like, you're paying these dudes major money to produce. Like, you need stat sheet stats from them. You need tackles. You need sacks. You need passes deflected. You need Daron Payne to be the Daron Payne. Not that he necessarily was in that Denver game last year for that one series that he wrecked the entire series,
yeah,
because that's unsustainable for a game. But can we get some flashes of that dude a couple times a game? I think that those two guys in the middle just, like, need to, maybe it's what they're being asked to do in this defense, which is why I'm not willing to fully say, hey, bad job, Allen, bad job, Payne. And I also want to understand why it is that they haven't been as effective. But ultimately, the thing that I am comfortable saying at this point is this defense needs to get to a point where they are producing more. And that is just simply not happening right now.
Number three.
Number three, I admittedly picked on a false premise. On Friday, it looked like Micah McFadden might not play in the game on Sunday. Not only did Micah McFadden, the Giants linebacker, play, but he played well. He was their leading tackler. He had 12 tackles on the day. But I had picked Ben Sinnott because I thought they would go some heavier personnel and they would use Sinnott and Bates and Ertz together. And turns out, like, they didn't, because McFadden was out there and you know, getting the backup linebacker on the field wasn't something they were going to do. Zach Ertz had a big day. That was great at the tight end position. Bates has a couple of nice blocks. And Sinnott, honestly, has a couple of nice blocks. And there's also a couple of plays where he's out there where you're like, that dude plays hard. Like, he just plays really hard. He knows he's only going to be out there for one or two snaps at a time. And he goes and he'll sprint, you know, from the opposite hash the numbers to try to make a block on a play or to be there just in case there's a block to be made. So, like, there's a lot to like from Ben Sinnott as a young player. They used him as a fullback some. And there's even a play, it's somewhere in my notes, where, like, they do show some of the flexibility. I don't even remember what the result of the play was. I just remember noting, like, hey, the tight ends right now are Sinnott, Bates, and then B-Rob is in, and they wound up in a spread formation five wide and empty. And so, like, you see some of the stuff that you can do with him that is cool, from the fullback stuff to the, hey, he's a tight end, but he can line up as a receiver or a running back, or, and you just kind of play with some of the defense's rules. But ultimately, I picked Ben Sinnott for a reason that wound up not being true. So, whoops.
I mean, I still don't think it was the worst, you know, pick. He didn't have that much impact, but to his credit, you know, which you just outlined, or, you know, highlighted, the fact that, you know, he is a willing blocker. And, you know, I think a lot of the tight ends in the NFL are, that we're seeing now, are, you know, being willing bloggers, dudes that are going to, you know, do the dirty work, and also, you know, be able to, you know, go out and catch patches. So
yeah, I mean, he played 13 snaps. He was in there for three passes. Like, he ran three routes, one pass block snap, and then nine run block snaps. So he's mostly being used as a run blocker. But, you know, if you can put him out there and, like, oh, it's going to be a run, Sinnott's in, and then you get the nice play action shot, like, you're setting stuff up for later in the year. I like the plan with Ben Sinnott, I guess, the what I would say. I like the plan with Ben Sinnott. We'll see what ultimately happens with it moving forward. All right, Anthony, number four.
Number four.
This one a little bit more on the nose in terms of game importance.
Yeah, this one was whoever was going to be filling in for Emmanuel Forbes. You had Noah Igbinoghene, and then you also had Michael Davis. Michael Davis started out, and then he ended up getting benched just because he was just giving up too much to Malik Nabers. And I'm not going to lie, Malik Nabers is a...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Tough ask to, you know, guard. That's why he was drafted 6th overall, put up the numbers that he did at LSU, why him and, you know, Jaden Daniels had the report that they had. But, you know, still the missed tackles, the effort, I still think you need that, even if you are giving up the catch. And sometimes, you know, he's getting beat. You got to still run, finish the play and run to the ball. And then they put Noah in. And Noah, you know, he did a little bit better, but I think I further sort of kind of understand why they left Forbes in week one.
You
rather have if it's going to be similar production, you rather have the younger guy, I'm assuming.
Get
the experience, get the reps, and, you know, be able to, you know, hopefully build off of it. But if you got a veteran like Michael Davis getting beat the same way, it's no point in, you know, having him in.
Yeah, and from an athletic standpoint, like, Davis can't keep up with a guy like Malik Nabers. Yeah. Emmanuel Forbes can't.
Yeah.
Whether he will or not is different, but, like, you start from a point that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say for Igbinoghene, like, he did a much better job.
Yeah.
Obviously, still got the PI. Like, he's grabbing, like, it's too much. There's some other plays that are not great, but, like, Noah's super physical, super duper physical. And so you start off with that baseline, and he's a good tackler. And so there's just a limit to the damage that's going to get done compared to if Davis is out there missing tackles. And now, you know, 60 yards down the field, or I guess they got 60, but like 40 yards down the field, Malik Nabers is running out of bounds, which should have been a 7-yard gain. Yeah. And that can't happen. Forbes, I still think, is better than both of them in the long term, even if he's not great. But we'll see when Emmanuel gets back what that looks like. I give a ton of credit here to the coaching staff for figuring it out by the end of the game. They got to a point where they went in with the game plan. They're like, this is what we want to do, especially on third down. Mm-hmm. We would like to be in man coverage. And generally speaking, we'd like to be in single high. And especially because you're having trouble stopping the run. So you need the extra support in the box. You're trying to get them out of run looks because they're killing you in the run game. And so you're stuck if you're Joe Witt between a rock and a hard place. You got these two defensive tackles that are supposed to be studs that are getting washed up front, and you're giving up, you know, 7.7 yards a carry to Devin Singletary. So you got to kind of commit extra resources to the box. Then Daniel Jones is like, sick, I got one-on-one outside with Malik Nabers on whoever the hell this is, and they're killing you with Malik Nabers. Dable's like, spam one. throw it to him 18 times in the game. And eventually in the fourth quarter, they just went, like, we're not doing this anymore. And so what they did was they went to two high looks, so they automatically had safety help over there, and they were playing a little bit more zone. And what that does in cover two is it creates a player over the top to prevent the deep stuff and someone underneath. So it's not like, hey, I can win. It's like, hey, I have to try to find this very specific space. And it on some level negates like your ability to win one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It's like beating zone coverage is a different skill than beating man coverage. And it just is a different kind of athleticism. It's a different kind of everything and different kind of feel. And it requires a different kind of accuracy for the quarterback. I mean, I know that fourth down is one that Malik Nabers probably catches 7 out of 10 times, but Noah Igbinoghene is underneath that throw. He makes it a little bit harder. He should have made it even harder. He should have been farther outside. But ultimately, like, it's not an easy straight line throw. There's a little bit of pressure. Jones is rolling. It's not a clean vision as Noah's like trying to get in the passing lane. And that ball's a little harder to catch than it otherwise has to be. And Nabers drops it. So the switch to the cover two looks in the fourth quarter is a huge like thumbs up. Good job, Joe. Good job, Dan. Good job, whoever else decided that was the play. But eventually you just have to go. Nabers is killing us one-on-one. Let's stop leaving him one-on-one and see if they can figure out the X or the Jimmys and Joes later. Because right now we know we don't have those. We need the X's and O's, if you will. All right, our pick six rolling on here on the Hoffman Show, review style on a Monday. Last two. First up,
number five.
Number five is Quan Martin. Quan, he was okay in this game. I should say he's better than that. He was solid in this game. 62 on the old PFF grade. 52 as a run defender, 52 tackler, 55 as a pass rusher, 65 in coverage. Like, Quan continues to be a presence over the top. It's a couple of those deep balls where if they're better throws, they might be completions, but they're going to have to be completions through a massive Quan Martin hit on Malik Nabers, you know, 40 yards down the field. He has a couple other plays where he's in there and doing a good job just shutting stuff down so it doesn't even become a throw. There's one really bad missed tackle that I can remember. It's one of those plays where Chin misses first, but like Chin's being asked to cover an 8-yard wide gap in that spot. Like, I don't put that on Chin. I put that on the tackles and the linebackers who left that size hole, but like Chin slows Singletary down and then Quan comes in and misses again and that becomes a big run. So there's a couple of missed tackles from Quan, but ultimately like he's developing into a good safety. And I think the biggest thing is the reason that he was on that list is over the last 2 years, there's been a number of miscommunications where he's been one of the guys and that didn't happen in this game. The big plays they gave up were more, they got beat, not we beat ourselves. The one exception is the Saner still touchdown that they give up where he just plays with terrible leverage. That's one where you kind of look at it and you're like, dude, you got to play that a lot better. That's a beat yourself. And then I guess there was the one, but Quan wasn't involved. Was it the first touchdown, Anthony, the bunch? No, I think it was the second one. Either way, the first passing touchdown is the one they give up.
Out route?
Yeah, the one where Nabers scores over the middle, where they don't pass stuff off correctly, but Quan was not involved in that one. So on that front, thumbs up Quan Martin. Obviously, you got to figure out the bunches and the stacks. They're hard, but you got to be clear in your rules. Saner still and Chin are the two that are kind of involved in that. BSJ was on the outside, but I don't think he's involved in the miscommunication. But Quan Martin, better, still room to grow, young player, fine with it. And then last but not least, Anthony, good job for you on number six.
Number six.
This might be your best pick you've made in 2 years.
Austin Seibert, baby. I'm not going to go as far as say we have found our kicker, but I will say the fact that, you know, he was consistent, he was able to, you know, knock in the chip shots. I think that goes a long way just because we've had so much inconsistency at the kicker position. And that's really all we want to see necessarily. Like, we don't want to have to go into the offseason with, I mean, I guess that's the least of our concerns, I guess, not having a kicker. But we also see how valuable having one is, because if we didn't have one, then we would have been looking like the Giants and, you know, lost out on some opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to see how bad it is to really not have a kicker?
Yeah.
Look at that other side. Look, Austin Seibert in his career has never missed under 40 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't have a strong leg. And so if that's a part of who you are and you understand that, like, okay, we're a team that's going to go for it from the, you know, 30-yard line and out, like 30 to back to punt range, you can plan for that. You have those situations in your head. Hey, we need to be on top of our stuff on kickoff return because we don't have a kicker who can kick it through the end zone. There are downsides to having a kicker without a strong leg. There's also a lot of upsides to being really confident that you can score in the red zone and get points and you don't have to go crazy because it's not a wild goose chase or any kind of wild card of what's going to happen if your kicker lines up for a 36-yarder.
Yep.
And this team has been in both spots.
Man.
And so, again, I think it's fair to say, despite his 7-for-7, it's too early to be like, they found their kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's one bad week away from being a lot of other kickers that have been here. But he seems very reliable in terms of his career. He's never missed under 40. As long as you ask him to do the things that you need him to do, or that he's capable of doing, and then we'll see about the distance, obviously, as the year goes, because there will be situations where it's like, hey, 52-yarder's the right. It's 4th and 9 because Jaden took a sack on a 3rd and 2 or whatever the reason is, the incompletion. Someone dropped the ball on 3rd and 9, and now it's 4th and 9 at the 40-yard line, and you're like, or the 38-yard line, and you're like, crap, this should be a kick. It's too far to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to punt? Or are we just going to take the long field goal? And we'll see what he can do. But in the sure thing situations, it feels like he should be reliable. It's the 50-50 calls that perhaps it affects the strategy. And then obviously kickoff return with the new rules. Are you on top of your stuff as a kick coverage unit? Which you saw the first kickoff of the game, they return it. Ballor gets a penalty, as he did on the return. Hey, let's sign this special teams ace. 2 penalties in the first 2 kickoffs. But Ballor commits the penalty, and all of a sudden the Giants are starting from near the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden that touchback sounds real good. So it's something to watch. But Austin Seibert, nice job. Nice job. 7-for-7. If you do nothing else while you're here, you got the franchise record and one that hopefully is not broken for a long time. Because, dear God, please let us not see 7 field goal attempts anytime soon. Score touchdowns. I heard it's cool. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, your calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It's Tell the Truth Monday. What you got on the game? 301-230-0980. Tell the Truth Monday wraps us up here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.